I want to talk to you probably for about the next, I don't know, probably eight weeks on the second coming of Christ, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, the end of all things, it's called eschatology, you know, the doctrine of last things. And you don't hear much about it anymore. I remember when I got saved in the 70s, I got saved at the end of the 70s. That's about all you ever heard preached, man. They were preaching the second coming, the rapture, the end of the world and all these things. And to be honest with you, that's really the hook that got me to start searching and looking into scriptural things. It was like a hook. It just got me. And I couldn't get away from it. Back then, the grocery store. You remember when you could buy Christian books on the little racks at the grocery store? They'd have books on the rapture and books on the second coming and all of that. And I'd stand there and read. Finally, I got to where I'd buy them. And then this man wrote this book. I wouldn't even recommend you didn't listen to the man preach, but he wrote this book about the rapture. And my mother-in-law gave it to me. And I was lost, and I read it, and I had nightmares. I started having nightmares about the rapture and me getting left behind. And like I said, I wouldn't even recommend you listen to his preaching, but the Lord used that book on the second coming. Wasn't much scripture in it. It was a fictional book about the rapture happening and some people being left behind and having to go through the tribulation period. Wasn't any scripture references or anything, but the Holy Spirit used me. But you don't hear much about that anymore. You don't hear. Unless it's a Jehovah Witness comes by. And you can't believe them because the Watchtower Society's already prophesied the second coming of Christ 8 times and failed every time. Amen? And the Seventh-day Adventist has prophesied his second coming 3 times and failed 3 times. So you really can't pay attention to those. So I want to know, what does the Bible say? I want to know, what does the Bible say? People say, what does your church believe about such and such? I said, whatever the Bible says. Yes. Well, what does your denomination believe about this, believe about that? I said, well, we don't have a denomination. We have a local church. And we believe whatever the Bible says. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Doesn't come by church councils. Doesn't come by Dr. Doolittle sitting around trying to figure out how many angels to sit on the head of a pen. It's what does the Bible say? And so I thought I would get the Bible and we just go see what the Bible says, okay? All right, most of you know this very familiar passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 1, we'll just start with verse 2. Well, verse 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, and all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This was after his resurrection. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. You need to underline that. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen. Now there it is. That was the last they saw of him. And the reason the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the waiting in Jerusalem till they were endued with power and received the Holy Spirit, the reason that's there is because that was the beginning of the last days as we know it. The last days of the church age. That's the age that we're in. And then he ascended up into heaven. They watched him go, and two angels standing by said, "Why are you standing up looking at this? He's coming back like he left, like manner, like this. And you'll see him again." And that's what I want to talk about just for a few weeks and try to study that and see what that means. As I said, there's much teaching on the subject. There's much conjecture on the subject. There's much false teaching on the subject. But then there is the truth of God. So I want to see what God says, and let God be true and every man a liar. And so we'll just look these next few weeks to see what God says about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look with me, I want you to notice some things about his return. And most people, what they want to know first is the condition of the day that we're going to be in when he comes back. What's the conditions of his return? If you will, turn to Dan chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. I said Dan on purpose, Dan. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And look at verse 4. There's a lot of Old Testament prophecy about his first coming and his second coming and the end of the world. Daniel chapter 12. Look at verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now, would you agree with me? We live in a time when many run to and fro. Everybody's going somewhere all the time. Nobody sits still anymore. They're running back and forth. And now, if you look with me at Luke chapter 21, and most of you have read this before, but I'm just going to read a couple verses. Luke 21, he says, "Knowledge shall be increased." Would you agree with me that this is the most knowledgeable age of mankind? You can get on the World Wide Web and learn anything from China or Japan, or Germany, or Russia. You can learn anything anybody knows anywhere in the world with just a few minutes, a few little taps, and you can be in the library system of the greatest libraries in the world instantly. And people are learning. Now look at Luke 21, verse 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." I like that, great glory. "And when these things begin to come to pass," now he didn't say when they were all done, he said, "when these things begin to pass, look up. And lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Now that's the conditions that the earth will be in when Jesus comes back the second time. Now that's not the conditions of the rapture. There are no conditions of the rapture. It's the conditions of the second coming of Christ after the rapture of the church, after the tribulation, and when he comes back in all his glory, where every eye shall see him, not just the believers. Y'all understand that, right? We're talking about the second coming, not the rapture. We'll get into rapture next time. But some of the conditions are men running to and fro in the earth. Would you agree that's happening? Never been more transportation than there is right now. Never had more ability to go anywhere in the world you want to than there is right now. Even the poorest of people. When I grew up, being poor meant you didn't have an automobile. Poor people have automobiles now. Being poor meant you didn't have a whole lot of stuff. They have computers now. They've got iPhones and iPads. And instantly, they can be anywhere in the world They fly on airplanes. Nobody's poor, really, hardly. And so they have the ability to go anywhere and learn anything, and it's happening every day. And then the conditions of the world, he was telling us. And some people say, well, you know, before the rapture, the sun's going to do this, the moon's going to do that. No, that's before the second coming. And some people say, well, you know, before the rapture, the ocean's going to do this, and the weather's going to do that, and the earth's going to do... No, that's the second coming. That's not the rapture. So he said, when you see the beginning of these things, as a believer, we look up, because the rapture is at the beginning before all of this stuff happens. He's promised to take us out of this stuff. We don't have to go through that. He'll deliver us. But as far as the second coming, I believe we could see some signs, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you believe there's been signs in the earth, some very mysterious, strange things going on planet Earth? Amen? They want to, scientists and liberals want to blame it on, they call it climate change. Well, the climate's always changing. It's always been changing, you know. And it gets cold and it gets hot and it goes through cycles and it comes back. And y'all know what I'm talking about. One winter's bad, the other one's not, you know. In the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth and earthquakes and tsunamis. And I believe this. Every time there's a volcano, the Bible says hell enlarges itself. We got an earth full of molten rock. It's so hot in the center, it melts the rock around hell. And whether you believe hell's there or not, doesn't change it one bit. But it's so hot that it melts the rock around that fire. And then as hell get, and by the way, there's been, before the flood, there was as many people living on planet Earth as there are now. And most of those people went to hell. And since then, billions of other people have lived and died and went to hell. So hell enlarges itself. And as it enlarges itself, the rock melts more rock. And then you it's got to come out somewhere so volcanoes go off. You have giant volcanoes. And when that's in the ocean, those produce tsunamis. They produce giant waves. Strange things happen. Amen? And I'm not saying because it rains 6 weeks, Jesus is coming. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about supernatural things happen. Yes. Supernatural things happen. The scientists tell us all the time in the skies, in the stars, they'll see new black holes. They'll see stars that popped out of nowhere. They'll see other stars falling apart. And I don't understand all that. I'm not an astrologist, but I can tell you this. God moves the heavens any way he wants to. Amen. And I really believe God's preparing the heavens and the earth right now for his son to come back. I believe he's preparing it for that. And I don't think we've seen anything. But the good news is I don't think we're going to see the worst of it because we're the believers. We'll be called out of here. Amen? That's what the rapture means. But I believe that the conditions in the world make us believe that the Lord is near. The conditions of mankind and the conditions of animal kind and the conditions of the earth itself and the universe. I think those things will make us look up. Because he says, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. I think we'll be looking for the Lord. And every time somebody talks about some kind of strange thing happening to earth, say, amen, and look up. Don't argue with them, just say, amen. They'll say, what you looking for? Say, I'm looking for the Lord, amen. He's coming, amen. But the conditions in the earth, the conditions of mankind. Mankind's never been as intelligent as he is right now. Let's be honest. Now, I'm talking about education-wise. I'm not talking about wisdom, godly wisdom. Man's never been more educated than he is right now. But I can tell you this, he's never been more wicked either. You know what you get when you get a wicked man and educate him? You get a smart, wicked, foul man. Amen? They put him in jail and then they educate him. You know what you get? You get an educated person in jail that's going to learn a better way to do it next time. You know, he'll get out of jail. Well, at least you think they would, but they really don't. All right, then I want you to notice this. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Because of that, Hebrews chapter 12. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with it? Because some of you know these two verses, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and look here, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, because we know what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ, that ought to challenge us to take our doctrine from the Bible and dedicate our lives to him because he's coming back. Amen. You know, it's strange what people will dedicate their lives to. They're so temporary. They're not going to, they'll be gone within this generation. It may take two or three generations, but they'll dedicate their lives, their well-being, their wealth, their heart. I'm talking about Christian people. You still with me? Yes. They'll dedicate their lives to these things, and it's all going to pass away. Yes. And the only thing that we know for sure as believers that it is that our redemption draws nigh. I don't know about people nowadays, but it used to be when at Mama's house around Thanksgiving, she'd say, "We having company for Thanksgiving. Y'all get to work. Clean up this house. Help me clean up that yard. Go get your hair cut. Here's a dollar." But she would admonish us to get ready for company, Brother Danny. And when you came to my mama's house, if you was company, you was first class. She didn't have much, but it sparkled. It was clean. Always. You ever heard that old saying, you could eat off the floor? You could eat off mama's floor. I guarantee you could. We didn't have much furniture either, so you had a lot of room to eat. She didn't let no stinking dog in the house. She'd whoop you in the dog. She got old and got liking cats, so after she got older. But see, what we ought to do, instead of living like he's never coming, we ought to be living like he's coming now. Amen. You know, it never does give us a time. It just says, you look, it's about to happen. So every day, we ought to go out, and if Jesus hadn't come, we ought to be disappointed. Right. And we ought to be ready. And it shouldn't just be Sunday ready. It should be every day ready. Amen? So many people's got Sunday Christianity. Sunday Christianity. Now, if he comes on Sunday, they're going to look good. They're going to behave good. If he shows up on Sunday, they're all right. But a lot of other days, they ain't looking for him. Sometimes people will call me and say, so-and-so put you down as a reference for our company to hire them. What can you tell about me about them? I said, not a whole lot. Wait a minute. They said, they're a faithful member of your church. I said, yeah, they are. I said, but you got to realize when I see them, they're at their very best. They're on their best behavior. They're usually wearing their best clothes and they're doing their best speech. I said, I don't know anything else about them that I could tell you that would make them a good employee. Amen. So don't put me down for your reference. It won't be good, but it won't be bad. I just don't give one. But that's the way we ought to be about the Lord. We ought to be ready all the time. Not Sunday Christianity. Now, when I got saved, I thought Jesus was coming back that day. I did. I thought he was coming back that week. I started reading and studying. And studying about the rapture and the second coming of Christ and the end of the world and the new world and the kingdom of God. And it changed my life. It changed my life. Now, I preach against a lot of things, but the church I went to hardly ever preached against anything. That didn't change my life. It was the study of the second coming of Christ, listening to other preachers and teachers and reading books and reading the Bible. It put me on my toes, buddy. And so, as we look at the second coming of Christ, the rapture, the end of the church age, and such things, it will challenge us to receive what the Word of God says, and it will change our life if we receive it. The Word of God's always like a medicine. Medicine's no good if you don't take it, Brother Ron. I think you're a little bit famous for that. I know I am. Didn't used to be like that. All right, and then I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm just giving you an introduction for what we're going to get into, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 18. All of you know 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is about the rapture. And so now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 16, he said, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven." Okay? Don't listen to these false preachers. The Lord himself is coming back. Then verse 17, he says, he's going to take us up, the dead and the living. The dead and the living. He's going to resurrect the dead and change the living. You still with me? Yes. But notice what he said in verse 18. "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now I've been through times in my life and in my Christian life where I had no comfort other than the thought that maybe Jesus will come today and fix this. You ever felt like that? You were out of hope. You were desperate. Maybe you were in some situation. You just didn't see how it was ever going to change. And you prayed and you said, "Lord Jesus, come quickly. Get me out of this mess." And then he didn't come. But you know what? He could have come. Yes. And what it ought to do is what it ought to inspire us, and it ought to comfort us, because there's one thing certain. He's coming. I don't know who's going to win the elections this week. I hope you vote for people that don't like abortion.
Amen.
I hope you vote for people that like jobs.
Amen.
And a good economy. I hope you vote for somebody that will keep the country growing and going instead of getting their pockets lined by foreign governments.
Amen.
That's one thing good about being there. You can't bribe him. We'll give you another billion. But I hope you vote. But I've got news for you. I don't know who's going to win. There may come a time in this country, and I'd be surprised if Jesus doesn't come back soon, there may be a time in this country where they do away with elections altogether and say only the parties can vote. That's what they want to do. They don't want the common person to vote. They think we're too stupid. That we're illiterate. So I don't know who's going to win. I'm hoping, I'm praying. I got a good idea. And if it goes the way I vote, I can tell you. But I'm not certain of anything from one day to the next anymore. Are you?
No.
I was going down the road the other day in my old pickup truck about 2 weeks ago, and I'm coming back from York, and I'm doing work for the Lord, and I got stuff in that truck I'm going to bring over here, and I'm going to work, and something goes, boom! So they ain't nowhere to pull off on Highway 161. They got curbs in the country. They got a turning lane in the middle of the road. There's nowhere to turn. Way up there where the power lines are and up there at Terza, there's nowhere to turn. So I pull over in the middle of the road and I look. And the back tire has got a hole in it that big around on the side. Looked like somebody threw a hand grenade. They might have. Threw a hand grenade and just blew. And so I reach up under to get my spares up under there. And I've had that truck. Let's see, that truck is a 1991. I got it when it was about 6 or 7 years old. I've never used a spare tire, so guess what it looked like? It just rust. Just rust. Wouldn't come down. It just... So I'm sitting there, I'm going to call Jeffrey. No, I can't call Jeffrey. I can't call Rhea. Well, I'm going to call Danny. No, I can't call Danny. Can't call my wife. Lord, what am I going to do? I'm sitting there in the middle of the road. Between me and death on this side is 6 inches. Between me and death on this side is 6 inches. I got nobody to call. What good's a cell phone? I sit there a while. I say, "Well, I could try to get off, pull up, and get off on that little. But if I go down that, it's going to go in that man's front yard, and he's going to come out there and shoot me. So I'm not going to do that." So I sit there and I say, "I called Wrecker. I said, Rick, the other Rick. I said, Rick, I need somebody to take my car to the house. I can't get my spare off. I had a flat. I felt so deserted. You ever felt deserted?" Sitting on the side of the road is the worst place to be. And a woman pulled up. A woman. No man. You know one seat, one traffic. And a woman goes by me, pulls over in the middle, backs up to me, gets out, walks up to me with this pitiful face like, you poor old man, do you need any help? She didn't say that, but it was all over her face. I said, no, ma'am, I got this covered. Bet I'd walked home, but I was ashamed. I bragged on that truck. 325,000 miles, still going strong. Mazda. Ford brakes. Hallelujah. Yeah, ain't nothing certain. Ain't nothing certain. I could say a lot about Chevrolets right now, but I need to go on. Nothing certain. In this life, I mean, would you help me here? Nothing certain. You get up one morning, you've been a healthy man all your life. You look in the mirror, you do the same old thing. What a man. Hey. Mm-mm. No, you don't even have to just go, hey. Y'all guys don't ever do that. Yeah, you do. I tell my look at that. Yeah. You go like this. And you think, I'm in pretty good shape for the shape I'm in. Then you get sick as a dog. You go across the yard and get winded. You got to sit down and rest. Say amen right over here. I haven't seen that one. Come on. Nothing certain. Nothing certain. Amen. There's one thing that's certain. Jesus is coming.
Yes.
I don't know what shape I'm going to be in, but I can tell you what shape he's going to be in. He's going to be in all his glory. And I'm certain of that. Well, Pastor, now you can't be fanatical. Yes, I can. Well, Pastor, you can't be so hard about that. Yes, I can. It is written. I can be fanatical as I... By the way, we ought to get a little bit more fanatical. People used to be. We've let sinners intimidate us and embarrass us and make fun of us. We ought to stand up for Jesus every once in a while and say, go on, live like hell if you want to, but heaven's coming down pretty soon. Jesus is coming. And I'm certain of that. Now, I may not be here, Mom. I'm 64. I plan to live. Mama was 99 and a half. I plan on getting there. But my plans don't always come to pass. But I can tell you this. He's coming. I think the church is going in a good direction. But it may change tomorrow. I've been there. It may change tomorrow. You never know. Amen. I think that God's blessing it. But you know, it wouldn't take but one old Judas to mess things up. Amen. You never know. You don't know what people's going to do. But I know what Jesus is going to do. He's coming back.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So here's a little advice. Be true to biblical principles. Some of you have been true to biblical principles instead of institutions. You left denominations because they left him. So you left them. Come on. You left preachers and evangelists and teachers because they left him. You were true to biblical principles. You lost friends because you were true to him, not them. Come on. Some of you lost husbands and wives, maybe even children or grandchildren, because you were true to the certainty of God's word, not to these people. 25, 30 years from now, we could come back here and this whole church maybe have a rainbow flag hanging over the door. No, you don't know.
Lord, help us.
Amen. Some of y'all been through this stuff. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But one thing's for certain, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Amen. And He said, you look up when all this is going on because your redemption draws nigh. Quit getting down in the mouth and start looking up. You say, preacher, doesn't it upset you the way things are going in the church? Sure it does. Sure it does. Doesn't it upset you the way so-called Christianity is headed? Sure it does. Sure it does. But my faith is not in those things. My faith is in Him, the one that shed His blood for me. See? And He says He's coming back. Before it goes to the very bottom, He's taking me up to the top.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now, it's very clear in the Scriptures. John chapter 14, you know it. John chapter 14, He said, I'm going, but I'm coming back. I'm going up, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm coming back to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He wants us to be with Him. Amen. That's scriptural teaching. I don't know if the Pope is going to be an Antichrist or if some mullah from Islam is going to be an Antichrist or if the President of the Southern Baptist Convention turned out to be an Antichrist. I don't know. Because I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ.
Amen.
Don't be giving me signs. And boy, they got all these formulas about who the Antichrist is. They said John F. Kennedy one time. They said it's Khrushchev one time. They said it was Kennedy one. It just goes on and on and on and on. You don't know. I don't know. Why don't you get to know the real Christ and you'll know something then. Amen?
Amen.
All this stupid conjecture. Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Y'all about out of time. 2 Peter chapter 3. I think somebody fixed the clock, Danny. 2 Peter chapter 3. He got scared. Knowing this first. Now you need to know this. Knowing this first. That there shall come in the last days scoffers. Would you say we're there?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, when I was growing up, I didn't know God. Most people that I knew didn't know God. But we was careful about messing with churches and Christianity.
Amen.
Scoffers. Walking after their own lust. Gay pride parade. Clouds that are carried with a tempest. Clouds, that means they're here today, gone tomorrow. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Did you notice that? You kids, that music you're listening to, alluring the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, that means just sexual sin. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. In other words, they're after believers. They're after believers. While they promised them liberty, boy, ain't that the word you hear nowadays at churches all that. Oh, liberty, we want to be free. We want to have liberty. We don't want to be under the law. You're a bunch of legalists. That's what y'all are. I hear that all the time. And by the way, I'd rather be too right than to be too wrong. If I'm going to be wrong, I want to be on the far right. I don't want to be on the left. Amen? But they promise them liberty. They themselves are servants of corruption. Man. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. Oh my goodness. Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped back one. I was thinking about what I was fixing to say. And I didn't preach my second point, so I might as well go on. Amen. They say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You ever heard that? Yeah, I hear that. Nothing's changed. Y'all talking about Jesus coming back? They've always said that. For this they, could you underline that word, willingly or ignorant of? That by the word of God, this is what they're ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. And the next says the Lord's not slack. Now, what we need to realize is this stuff is taking place. But because of blindness, because of corruption of these people who willingly put themselves under blindness because of the lust of the flesh and the corruption of the heart, they don't want to see it. And because they don't want to see it, they don't want you to see it. So they belittle you, they degrade you, they criticize you to get you to shut up. Well, preacher, I can't talk about that. They'll make fun of me. Well, they're going to make fun of you over something. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too tall. You're too short. You got buck teeth. You ain't got no teeth. Your hair's too long. It's too short. You ain't got any. Look, I'd rather be mocked and made fun of for believing that the same Jesus went up to heaven will be coming back to get me one day than any other reason I know. People are getting fusses and fights over favorite ball teams, football, baseball, basketball, soccer, hockey. And by the way, you Northerners, you can hang up that hockey stick. You will never use that again. And hockey, and they'll argue over this stuff. Non-essential, unimportant things of life. And they'll fuss and fight over these things, but they will not take a stand for Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know what I learned a long time ago? Sometimes people will tell me they want me to go see somebody, and they'll say, now, be careful because he or she will probably cuss you out. I said, well, you know, cussing don't hurt me.
That's right.
It's just words.
That's right.
Before I was saved, I had a pretty good many of them myself. If I didn't know one, I'd make up one. I said, don't hurt me for a man to cuss me. Don't hurt me for... I said, all they're trying to do is defend themselves.
Right.
They know they're wrong. They don't have a doctrinal or a biblical answer for their error. So therefore, they've got to offend you to get you to shut
Amen.
Up.
Yes.
And that's the world we're in today. These kids take a Bible to church, school and a good-sized Bible and carry it out in public. And they're going to be offended.
Yes.
You take one to work, you might be offended.
Yes.
By the way, every job I ever worked on, I took my Bible. I figured if my Bible wasn't welcome there, I wasn't either.
Right.
Well, preacher, they'll fire you for that now. Well, Lord, give me other jobs.
Right.
And the first thing I'd do, I'd take my Bible, and if I had a desk or a workbench, I'd open it up, and I'd turn it to John 3:16 and lay it right there. And you'd be surprised in how much cussing and dirty talking that'll cut out.
Yeah.
They come up to me and say, did you hear that one about? And I go, oh, I forgot you was a Christian. I said, hey, don't apologize to me. I'm not the one that's offended. He is. Amen. But see, the day that we live in, if you believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're called on the lunatic fringe. That's what they call us now. The new evangelicals and evangelicals call us fundamentalists. They say those people are on the lunatic fringe. They're ready to go off at any moment. They're going to take a gun over there and shoot up the schoolhouse or down there at the post office. Now let me ask y'all, how many born again, Bible believing Christians have you ever known to take a gun and shoot up anywhere? But we're the lunatics. We're ignorant. We're cultish. Well, Jesus was cultish. He had 12 apostles. He had 120 disciples. Of course, they grew into millions and billions. But if that's what you want to call cultish, if that's what you want to call fanatical, guilty.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of that.
Amen.
And I'm not going to apologize for that. Matter of fact, I need to talk more about it to warn those people, because they are the ones that are ignorant. And they are the ones as fanatical about their unbelief as I am about my belief. And somebody's got to confront them so they'll know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Well, I better go on. Matthew 24:44. Matthew 24:44, and again, I want to warn you, that's not the rapture, but we're talking about the second coming. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, what I tell you, it says therefore, look and see what it's there for. Therefore, be ye also what?
Ready.
Oh my goodness. For in such an hour as you think what? The Son of Man cometh. Now, if they come out with a book tomorrow that says Jesus is coming back on Thanksgiving, go ahead and have yourself a good time on Thanksgiving, because he ain't coming. Some guy just wrote a book to make $1 million. If some TV preacher says, he starts preaching on prophecy, and he said, if you'll buy this book, it'll tell you when Jesus is coming back, you never should have been watching the guy in the first place. Because you don't know. You don't know when he's coming back. I don't know when he's coming back. In Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Look at verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, that's us, and to every man his work, that's us, and commanded the porter to watch, that's us. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.
Amen.
He's coming. Now, some people say, how can he come and every eye see him in the clouds at one time, the whole earth? Sometimes it's morning in one place, it's night in one place, and it's, he just got through saying, you don't know when it's going to be. It might be morning here and dark somewhere else, but he's coming. And when he comes back in all his glory will reveal himself to the whole world.
Amen.
It doesn't mean he's going to stand up on top of that little old tiny cloud right there. It means he's going to stand up in the heavens and the whole world can see him coming. The heavens open up. You see, the Russians and so-called educated people make a big mistake. They sent astronauts up into space, and since they were communists, they said, we're up here and we don't see God. If this is heaven, where's God? And I think to myself, that's mighty small thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you think the stratosphere or something can hold God in all his glory, you're a pretty small thinker.
Yeah.
He's on the other side of that.
Right.
And it's so supernatural, even though and by the way, who knows when scientists tell you that they can see a billion miles away a star that existed a billion years ago that's burned out. How do you know? Who made that up? He ain't been around. Wait a billion years, then let's see if he's telling the truth. Amen? And boy, this star is 300 trillion light years away. You ain't never traveled one light year. How in the world do you know what 3 trillion light years are? Made up. They make a living off that stuff to get government grants. But we won't let those people intimidate us. Now, I'm going to show you where heaven is. I want you to pay real close attention. It's a supernatural place, so you'll never see it in a spaceship. The Bible says it's one step away. It's one heartbeat.
Yes.
It's one breath.
Yes.
You close your eyes in death, that last heartbeat, you open them up in glory.
Amen.
That's a supernatural. And the natural man can't understand things of the spirit because they're spiritually discerned. So to him, that sounds ridiculous.
Yes.
But you know what's more ridiculous? To think you can get on a spaceship and travel to another planet and live there. You crippled too high for crutches. You need some help. Listen, there's not a planet in the universe that anything can grow on. You know why? Because God made all of them for us. To map the stars, to chart courses, or just to see the glory of God. The problem is, they don't believe He's coming. And they've deceived themselves, and they're deceiving others. If you let them, they'll intimidate you into deception also.
Yes.
I know there ain't many of us left. There used to be a lot of fundamental Bible believers. I know there's not many of us left. And I know we're rare as hen's teeth. Do they have hen's teeth in California? They do? They're rare though, ain't they? You ever seen one? I ain't never seen one. I think you're lying. But anyway, look. Biblical fundamentalism, the fundamentals. You got fundamental math, fundamental English. That's the basics of fundamentalism. There are very few of us left because now it's all about a feeling good, wonderful, Jesus is my boyfriend and everything's so pretty. No. No, everything ain't pretty. And the end is coming.
Yes, it is.
And I see it every day. And guess what? It doesn't scare me not one bit. It excites me. What do you think about what North Korea is doing? They're building bombs. Glory to God. What about China? They got that 5 million man army. I said, hey, they're coming down. They're going to cross the river Euphrates. Glory to God. It's all in the book. I'm not worried about it. Well, ain't you worried that the terrorists going to explode a nuclear bomb? Hey. The worst thing they can do to me is kill me and I wake up in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever happened to people that believe the book?
Amen.
Now, here's what I want to happen. Sometime between now and the next time we show up here, I want y'all to get so fanatical that people won't eat lunch with you no more. Amen. They'll say, oh man, you can't get around him. My boss man told me one time, said, listen, we've been having complaints about you. I said, you have? Yeah, we're probably going to have to write you up. I said, for what? He said, don't nobody want to work with you. I said, why not? He said, well, they say all you want to do is talk about the Bible. You want to talk about church. You want to talk about Jesus. You want to talk about religion. That's all you want to talk about. I said, well, I need to correct you on that. For the first 5 minutes, I let them talk trash while I listened to it. So they had to listen to me talk about what I wanted to talk about. You need to quit that. I said, I can't quit that. I feel guilty now that I don't do it enough. Well, you got to quit or we're going to write you up. I said, how many write-ups does it take to get fired? He said, 3. I said, go ahead and write them. I'm not backing up anymore. I've done backed up enough. If I lose this job, God's got me another job.
Yes.
But Jesus is coming. I'm not apologizing for that, Mary. I'm going to live like it. In expectation. And that'll change my life when I live for Jesus coming back. Now, most people's living to die. They think, well, I got to meet God when I die. And that's all right. That helps you. I guess that's okay. But we ought to be living expectantly that I'm living like I'm going to fly. Any minute.
Yes.
And it cut out a lot of our old carnal and fleshly desires. It'd make better Christians out of us.
Yeah.
And make better soul winners out of us. Because see, Brother Dan, if you really believe that, you're not going to let your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, your mom or daddy alone.
Yes, sir.
You go to family reunion, that's a whole no, here he comes. There comes that Jesus freak. All I want to talk about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Talking about the second coming. Amen. We ought to have that reputation. And he said, but when all you see all these things coming to pass, Brother Billy, for your redemption draweth nigh. I got cold chills. I hope he comes tonight. I won't be awake when he comes, by the way. If I'm asleep, that'd be okay. I don't sleep good anyway. Well, I hope he comes tomorrow. I hope he comes tomorrow while you're in traffic mad on the way to work. I'm glad I ain't Pentecostal. I'm glad I don't think I can lose my salvation. I'd be in big trouble in traffic. Oh, Lord, I didn't know it was going to be then. I was about to ruin that guy. Are you ready? Here's how you get ready. Number one, get saved. Number two, if you are saved, get sure. Number three, if you're saved, you're sure, get sanctified. Set yourself apart. And then number four, if you're saved and you're sure and you're sanctified, look up. Let's stand. Father, thank you.